Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now, I'm out of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is June 22, 2024, or it is the 16th day of the 4th month, 2028. We're going to start our first service on this Sabbath day. Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now I'm at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November the 21st, 2015, or it is 6/10/2019. We will start our third service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, The Last Mile of the Way. If I walked in the pathway of duty, if I worked till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Before Yahshua I proclaim the glad story, I see foolish sheep gone astray, and sure He will show me His glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. In the dearest of ties we may sever, here's a song we're singing every day. But we'll sit, there's no sign for heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. Only in His beauty, when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven, tried all's will to obey, fell in hands for the rapture of heaven, when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way.
We're going to go into our service entitled Time of Greetings, Volume 1 by V.T. Hollow. It's number 8. The title of our sermon is Let Us In or Division, Which One? Now this is what we had involved at the third feeding pastor of Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas. We had the Esau and the Jacobs that were side by side, Brother Johnson and Elijah David. Brother Johnson as Esau, the firstborn. Elijah David as Jacob, the secondborn. And we had a situation where Brother Johnson was the angel to the seventh candlestick called Laodicea. So him, with that title, an answer for Esau, and the angel of the seventh candlestick at the same time, then it made him represent the Seventh-day Adventist Church as their voice of inspiration. During that time period of the third feeding pastor at Gilead Seminary, and that was from 1970 to 2003. So Brother Johnson was the inspired voice for the Seventh-day Adventist. Now we know how his inspiration turned out in the end. He didn't know whether he was coming or going. And Elijah David succeeded him in 2002. During my time with Brother Johnson from 1970 to 2003, my time was antitypical, period of antitypical Jacob. And Jacob had inspiration, and he inherited the birthright. And this Jacob had the title of Davidian, whereas Esau had the title of Laodicea. So Revelation 3:14, angel of the Church of Laodicea, Brother W. Johnson, and I, during the judgment of the dead, the last period of the judgment of the dead, but from 1970 to 2003, of the sixth seal, and Brother Johnson was in charge of that feeding pastor, Gilead Seminary. I was second to him to inherit being in charge of the kingdom. The one that was to succeed him, and it had the name purely Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Where Brother Johnson wrote a tract, I believe in 1977, he said, "Liveth Our Adventist Remnant Church," and he had a red cross on the front of it. That was in a sense of a shield for us. Anyway, and so Brother Johnson, he says, "Our name here at Gilead Center is 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church." But the church that succeeded 11th Hour Adventist Remnant Church was Elijah David's Kingdom of David. I mean, he had the legitimate title of the Rod, David the Rod, with the name Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, with the Isaac Branch message. Don't get much clearer than that. Okay, so here we have it. We're going to now go into the reading of our study. Text of Advaita Hala, September the, it looked like the 25th, 1946. I believe it was. That was September 28th, 1946. So, it says, I just explained to you about the double leadership of Laodicea, the angel of Laodicea, Brother Johnson, antitypical Esau, firstborn, and antitypical Jacob, the secondborn. And he had the official name Davidian, whereas Mount Edom did not have the official, did not have the official title of Davidian. And they weren't supposed to have. Okay. This afternoon, I am to answer the question how do I know that I am not still a lord of sin? That I am now a true devillian in order intelligently to discuss this question, we must first have a mental picture of what lesser sins are like and what divinities must be like. I shall read from Revelation 3:14-18. And unto the angel, I'll put my parentheses, minister of the Seventh Church, Seventh-day Adventist, with an additional title of the letter sin. Okay. Write these things, saith the Amen, as the faithful and true witness, with the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with the good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. What is wrong with the angel of Laodicea? Question mark. He is lukewarm. He is neither cold nor hot. Well, that described Brother Johnson 100%. At Gilead Center, 1972-2003. You couldn't heat him up. You couldn't freeze him out. You just couldn't do nothing with him. But he was so lukewarm and so satisfied with his condition that he didn't want no more added to it or taken from it. For the Yahshua recommend that he be either cold or hot. Uncomfortable in the search of something better rather than the state of warm, well contented with his spiritual attainments, supposedly rich and increased with the goods, in other words, with the present truth, not knowing that he is spiritually poor, blind, and naked. He is warned of it by the all-knowing one and asked to repent. If the Yeshua's own warning fails to change his mind, then the only thing left for the Yeshua to do is to spew him out of his mouth. So Brother Johnson then was in the mouth of Yahshua the Son. He was having to communicate with the mouth of Yahshua on a daily basis to keep present truth going and understanding the unrolling of the scroll on a timely fashion on a day-by-day basis. But Brother Johnson wasn't doing that. Because, first place, he called the angel of Laodicea a group of people, and he said, that's the Seventh-day Adventist collectively. Not just one person. He said, that's just the Seventh-day Adventist church. They're the angel of Laodicea. He was totally wrong. I've got an itching on the inside of my left arm. Now I've got to do something about it now. I'm going to have to do something. Make sure I got this thing turned up. Now the words I am rich and increased with the good, the angel of Laodicea, is saying that he has good understanding of the Bible and has a testimony for the church, and that these make him rich, and that in addition to these, he has other denominational publications. There's an increase. He thus deceives himself that he has the whole truth to carry him right on through the pearly gates, that he needs nothing more. He has serious counsel, however, that he buy of him a gold that is tried in the fire, so that he may be rich, unveils the fact that the latter sins, rich or not, pure gold, and that their so-called increase is not an increase of the truth, but worthless, uninspired interpretation, not to tried in the fire. For the angel of Laodicea, Brother W. Johnson, of Turner, Texas, 2002, at the Passover, is naked. He has not the wedding garment on. He has not the righteousness of the Yeshua, and his being naked, not having on any clothes, denotes that he has no righteousness save his own, the righteousness with which he was born, his bare skin. Moreover, he is spiritually blind, and that for his ailment, Yeshua's eyesight is the only remedy. If he could but take the Yeshua's counsel and apply the salve unto his ailing eyes, he could then see what is represented by the salve. First, let us see what makes a man spiritually blind. The one who knows even the number of the hairs on our heads points out that if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Matthew 6:23. If negligence of making proper use of the spiritual light makes the offender blind, then something having power to arouse in him zeal to discover his true condition is the only remedy. Only such an eye salve can possibly open his eyes. Let me concretely illustrate. For the individuals often write to the office saying, I heard so much against the Shepherd's Rock, and what I heard made me unmercifully prejudiced. But I happened to get hold of one of your little tracts, and for the courtesy's sake, I thought I'd see what it is about. But as I read a few pages of it, and as my eyes began to open, I read the whole tract. I am now anxious to read the rest of your books. Will you please send me whatever reading matter you can? Another such providential incident came to our attention from faraway China. I picked up half of your booklet, track number 13, on the street, and my wife, a few days later, picked up the other half beside the curb of the same drive. I pieced them together and got your address. I am deeply interested in all it contains, and am anxiously waiting to hear from you. Could you tell me everything that will help me find my joy? These truth-seeking brethren obviously represent those who can be pried out of their latest cynicism, for their own experiences well illustrate that the salve represents inspiration's timely truth. Now let me tell you of another class of individual from whom I often hear. Listen to what they say. Please keep your rod to yourself. Take my name from your mailing list. I am not in the least interested in what you are doing. The bookers go into the fire just as soon as they come. I never read them and I never will. No, not a line. I am satisfied, parenthesis, lukewarm with my religion. I belong to the true remnant church, and I expect to go with it. How dare you try to deceive me? Another says, please do not send me any more of your literature, as I am satisfied with my own views. This kind of talk is typically led to sin. It perfectly expresses the lukewarmness. For the Yahshua truth, though, is against their attitude. Is there anything which could more completely and more quickly sever one's communication line with the Yahweh forever than an attitude of having all the truth and of having need of no more? If the language in the letters from which I have just read to you does not say I am rich and in need of nothing more, then what could it say? Or what could say it? For this group of the little sin will never, never have their eyes open, will never be anything but rich, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They can never be reached by heaven, not even by the Yahshua himself. If they thus continue, then the only thing Yahshua can do is to spew them out of his mouth, never again to mention their name at the throne of the grace. Anything new from the Bible that is brought out by anyone but themselves, even though purported to be through the inspiration, they hastily brand deception, though they are already in a gross self-deception. They read the Bible with the hope of finding proof by which to disagree with everyone but themselves. Let me illustrate. I may, on the way to the bank, with $1 million, and I may seriously believe that I am a millionaire, but suppose the banker tells me your money is counterfeit, and suppose I have no other, then how rich would I be? I would be as rich as is the angel of Levashir. Says Satan. I opening experience is what the Levashir needs, unless something like it's happens to them, they will forever think that they are rich and in need of the nothing. More. Some say, though, not long hence, for the heavenly watcher himself with the will demonstrate unto them face to face that their gold is not tried in the fire. Then their eyes will be open, but not soon enough to do them any good. What they now see at a distance appears to them to for sure to be the sea of glass. But when they get to the end of the way and take a close look, they will, and the indescribable grief and with a quivering voice cry out, "Mirage, mirage!" Not the sea of glass. Then will they be anxious to know the truth and will pay anything to get it, but it will be too late, and they will be, and they will, to change the figure, get to the door only to hear the voice from within say, "I know you're not." Matthew 25:12. For a person's facial characteristics, we are able to identify his face, and similarly, we can judge one's profession by the type of the clothes he wears. If a person wears fine clothes and is not decked with everything he can put on, we judge him to be a businessman. If he wears lower grade clothes and has on the body every trinket he can pin on, then we judge him to be a cheap sport. If he is clothed in the overalls, we judge him to be a laborer. If he is dressed otherwise, we judge him to be a white collar worker. But if he wears no clothes, then no one but Yahweh can tell what he is. Such is the letter of sin. Now, if one, if the white garment represents the Yahshua's righteousness, then if one has on no garment at all, is naked, then whose righteousness would he have? Self-righteousness, only the skin in which he was born. For the letter sin's nakedness represents just that, but they know it not. In all respects, I realize that this is sin's much, but it is not sin too much, because it is the Yeshua who says it. He invites the letter sin's that buy of him gold, the kind that is tried in the fire, and starved to, so that they might be truly rich. He invites them to put on the wedding raiment, so that they be not cast into the outer darkness, to weep and to gnash their teeth. If they do not accept his invitation now, yes, now, their nakedness will be exposed and they thus put to shame. If you do the opposite of what the little sins be, then you cannot still be a little sin. And it is just as easy to know whether you are a Davidian or not. To find out if you are a Davidian, you must first know what a Davidian is, Well, Baker stated the vision is recognized by his garment, by the source from which he gets it, and by what he gives in exchange for it. For the prophet Zechariah explains in Zechariah 3:1-4. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Yeshua, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Yeshua said unto Satan, the Yeshua rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Yeshua that has chosen Yahushua rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with the filthy garment, and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him, and unto him he has said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. The first one to be given the garment is Joshua, the high priest, the highest official in the church. If he has not the garment, then no one else has it either. From this we see that the genuine revival and reformation starts at the head, not at the feet, and that before one is given the right to put the garment on, his iniquity is taken away. He repents of his sin, and Yahshua blots him out. Satan, though, is right there to resist and accuse him. But thanks be to Yahweh that Yahshua is also there to rebuke the enemy. Do you catch the lesson, brother, sister? While you are getting the garment, you will have to meet the strong opposition. But what of it? Is it too much to stand firmly for the present truth and righteousness when the majority forsake? And how else shall you become a hero for the Yahweh? Read Matthew 5:10-12. For the apostles and the prophets not only withstood the opposition from their own brethren, but they even greatly died for their white garment. They gladly died, even gladly died for their white garment. You, though, are not now asked to give up your life, but to save it. The tables are now reversed. Yahshua will not permit you to be consumed by the flame. He is to rescue you as a brand plucked out of the fire. From this we see that the Joshua of today is having his filthy garments exchanged for the white robe, for the righteousness of the Yahshua. Zechariah 3:5. And I said, let them set a fair matter upon his head. So they set a fair matter upon his head, and clothed him with the garments. And the angel of the Yahshua stood by. Not only is he clothed in a white garment, but he is also crowned with a fair matter. And what could such a matter denote other than the authority vested and him as the heaven's appointed a ruler. As such, he is clothed from his head to his feet, and the angel of the Yeshua stood by. What a gift, and what a bodyguard for one to have that in a world such as ours. In spite of it, though, human beings are very slow and hesitant to take their stand on the Yeshua side. Most of them had rather lean on a man. Zechariah 3:8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Not only Joshua, but also those who sit before him, the congregation, are admonished to hear this such heart. And what kind of man are they? Men are they? Men wondered at. This symbolism shows that at the fulfillment of the prophecy, the angel of the church of the latter saints is no longer in charge of the Yahshua's house, and that the Yahweh's people are to be made up holy of men wondered at. Obviously then, as a result of this revival and reformation within the latter saints church, another church emerges of which Joshua is in charge. Not the angel of Laodicea, that there are to be another terrorist, Matthew 13:30. Had a bad fish, Matthew 13:48. Or ghosts, Matthew 25:32. The Laodicean, the seventh, is the last that is commingled with the hypocrites, saints, and sinners. That's the seventh day of the church. Here is who is to bring this revival and reformation, this great change. The branch, and according to Isaiah 11:1-5, the branch is Yeshua, as the son of David, we shall now read. Zechariah 3:9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before thee, Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith Yeshua the host, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Those who sit before Joshua are then wondered at. As such, they are depicted by the stone, church or kingdom, that is in the Joshua site. It has a heaven. It has seven eye perfect vision. When this purification of the church takes place, then the sin in the land is quickly removed in one day. Here is seen genuine revival and reformation accompanied by the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist church, with the 144,000 as the first fruits, as the prophets, priests, and kings that are the first fruits harvest, bringing forth this purification. For the Yahshua is to have a pure church and a clean people. Zechariah 3:10. And that day, says Yahshua of the host, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under his under the fig tree. And that day, in the day that this purification takes place, the gospel or the teaching of the plan of the salvation of the brother of the everlasting covenant that I share a new and living way in Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. Work is to be quickly finished by the having every member of the Yahshua's house call his neighbor unto his own patch of land, to that which Yahweh has preordained that everyone should have, every member. Therefore, is to be a missionary in their one capacity or in another. This indeed is the layman's movement that shall finish the teaching of the plan of the salvation of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, work. For the statement, call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree, appears also in the Micah 4, for it teaches the same thing that Zechariah teaches. The subject, however, does not stop with Zechariah 3. It continues on Zechariah 6:11. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them up on the head of Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest. For the angel is commanded to take silver and gold and to make crowns, not one, but more than one. These are set upon the Joshua's head. Zechariah 6:14. And the crown shall be unto Helam and to Tobiah and to Jedidiah and to him the son of Zephaniah for a memorial in the temple of the Yahshua. Verse 14 reveals that Joshua is to pass the crown on unto his helpers, whom the Yahshua himself now. This is to be a memorial, an everlasting reminder in the temple of the Yahshua. What can all this mean? Just this. Joshua is heaven's appointed judge, ruler. He himself is crowned as such. And in the response to the Yahshua's own command, Joshua crowns, authorizes his helpers, whom the Yahshua himself named. In other words, as members of the house of the David, Joshua's authority authorizes them to engage in the work. So Joshua is responsible unto the Yahshua, but his helpers are responsible unto Joshua. Here is seen an organization having a leader and an under-leader, Yahshua and Joshua. Thus it is that whatever is to be bound on the earth is also to be bound in heaven. Matthew 16:19. As concretely as the heaven can make it, this symbolism depicts that Yahweh's people and their final work are not to labor at the cross purposes. All are to speak the same thing. So it is that his watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice together, shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:8. Then his people shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, sought out a city not forsaken. Isaiah 62:12. Isaiah 6:12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh Yahshua the host, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, or the man whose name is the branch, and he shall go up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Yahshua. For that man is Yahshua himself. He's the branch. Joshua is well instructed that the burden and the ingenuity for the building of this spiritual temple belongs unto him whose name is the branch. He is to grow up out of his place To him be the glory. He alone is to be exalted. He is to build the temple, I'm going to say, of the Yahweh the Father. Because Yahshua is the one that is the branch. He's going to build the temple of his Father. Okay? That's just like Solomon. He was commanded to build the temple of the Yahweh back in his day, after David died. And so Solomon built Yahweh a house, and he built his son a house. Zechariah 6:13. And even he shall build the temple of the Yahshua, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of the peace shall be between them. Both and they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Yahweh. I'm going to put the Father here. And you shall know that the Yahshua, the Son of the host, has sent me unto you, and this shall come to pass, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Yahshua, or of the Yahweh, your Father. Thus shall the prophecies of the Isaiah chapters 2 and 4 also, the fourth chapter of the Micah, be fulfilled. Finally, how do we know for the certain that this message was planned and recorded especially for the Seventh-day Adventist Church of today? We know it from the fact that the revelation of these scriptures is now, never before, unveiled and proclaimed. Now its proclamation makes known that the Yahshua is taking the reins in his own hand. Testimonies of Ministers, page 300. We know that that took place at the Passover 2002 at Kermit, Texas, because Yahshua taking the reins in his own hands at that Passover and taking them out of the reins of the hands of Brother Johnson and putting them into the hands of the antiquary Elijah David. At the time of the purification of the church, the judgment of the living in the house of the Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, is at hand. Testimony, Volume 5, page 8. That the purified ones, the 144,000, the wheat, the Revelation 14:1, are to be put in the barn, Matthew 13:30, no longer to be commingled with the tares in the Adventist church that is left behind. Now that an innumerable multitude from all nations, Revelation 7:9, are to be brought unto the house of the Yahshua, Isaiah 6:19-20. You yourselves can now answer the question as to whether you are a Davidian or still a Laodicean. If you are satisfied with yourself, with your spiritual attainment, with your man-made gospel program, teaching of your own version of the plan of salvation, if you think that Yahshua is speaking unto you by whatever happens to you, trick in your mind, if you think you have all the truth and that you have need of nothing more, if you think that everyone who does not have your stamp of the approval on his belief is a false prophet, and if you are in the constant fear that someone is everlastingly trying to deceive you because he teaches something new, if you never give it a thought that you may be slamming your door against a truth bearer who may be bringing to you the Yahshua's eyesight and the wedding garment. If you do all these or any part of them, then you must be as good a Laodicean as you possibly can be, not a purified branch Davidian. Seventh-day Adventist. But if you are aware that your garments are filthy and your iniquity not blotted out, if you realize that you are to walk in the Yahweh's ways as He directs through the Joshua of today, if you are all for Yahweh and not at all for yourself or for the world, then you either are or are beginning to be a Davidian. If you have not attained unto all of these, you should see that you do. And if already have, then keep advancing in the light. And for certain, you shall finally stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb. Now take the counsel of the Yahshua and no longer be like a piece of the bark drifting in the sea, where every wind of the doctrine, for the people of Yahweh are represented in the message and the messenger to the latter sin, as in a possession of eternal security. They are at ease, believing themselves to be in an exalted condition of the spiritual attainments. What greater deception can come upon the human mind than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness, and Yahshua is this true witness pointed out there in Revelation 1:5, finds the people of the Yahweh in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. For they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Yahweh, while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition. For the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. For the testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 252 and 3. We have no right to judge a man until he's fairly tried. Should we not like his company, we know the world is wide. Some may have faults, and who has not? The old as well as young. Perhaps we may, for aught we know, have 50 to their one. Joseph Kronenthal. Okay. So it's closes this sermon with a song, and it's called Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Yah in the light of His Word, what a glory He sets on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil He doth quickly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a fan nor a cross, but His blessing we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until off on the altar we lay. For the favor He showed and the joy He bestowed are for them who will trust and obey. Okay, J.H. Shamus wrote that. This brings any of us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now this song. Actually, we have about 10 more minutes to go on this sermon. So let's go right on into the next one. is called Town of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 9, and 10 goes together. Okay. So, we'll just go ahead and start with the house of David as the angel of the Yahshua. What brings success to revival and reformation? Opening thought. I shall read from the Mount of the Blessing the first two paragraphs on page 159. Mount of the Blessing 159. For Yahweh is our Father, who loves and cares for us as His children. He is also the great King of the universe. The interests of His kingdom are our interests, and we are to work for its building. For the disciples of Yahshua were looking for the immediate coming of the kingdom of His glory, but in the giving of themselves this prayer, Yahshua taught that the kingdom was not then to be established. They were to pray for its coming as an event yet future. Okay, but this petition was also an assurance unto them while they were not to behold the coming of the kingdom in their day, for the fact that Yahshua bade them pray for it is evidence that in Yahweh's own time it will surely come. What is the seed thought contained in this reading? What should we pray about that we may understand that prayer alone will not take us into the kingdom, that work is every bit as needful as is prayer? Yes, the interest of His kingdom should be uppermost in our mind. We are to work for its upbuilding as well as praying for it. Okay, so that's the end of the prayer thought for that. Well, actually, let's just bring this study to a close, and we'll start our next study with the title of the House of David as the Angel of the Yahshua.
Open my eyes and I may see. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Placed in my hands are the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Solemnly now I wait for Thee. Ready my heart, I will to see. Open my heart, illumining Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth Thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything falls to disappear. Silently now I wait for Thee. Ready my yard, I will to see. Open my ears, illumining Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with Thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for Thee. Ready my yard I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit Spirit that He finds.